You're listening to another top-rated radio show on the USA Talk Radio Network. You're listening to another top-rated radio show on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to the American Hour with your host, Commander Tom Garcia, on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Commander Tom Garcia, and this is the American Hour. We have a special guest host joining us today. I'm just here to introduce her. It's Risa LaRue Kirkland, and she's going to be joining us in just a moment. We had a few technical difficulties earlier. And, of course, my lovely co-host, Paula Luzon Osman, as always. How are you today?
Hey, Tom,
you know what?
Good.
Calling in and guest hosting, but she's done a lot of guest radio shows, but I don't think she's done too much hosting. But I do know that she's done on Blog Talk before, so she's going to be here any minute because I've been getting emails from her about walking into the show. And so once she is, she says she signed in and logged in for the switchboard, but I haven't put her call in yet, so I sent her a little message saying, be sure and call in. But as soon as Risa is here, she's going to take over and run the show. If you've seen some of the promo and press release for this, a lot of it's going to be about the path to 9/11, a Disney movie that was produced that didn't put the Clintons in the greatest of a light, and they got it shut down. But it's out there, and there are ways to see it, and she's going to talk about that and what's in the movie and what really occurred when we had an opportunity to get rid of bin Laden, but didn't, because our government chickened out. And we don't need any more of that coming in the future. In any case, Paula, how was your 4th of July? Well, Paula may be screening the call, and maybe Risa has called in. In any case,
she's
next
on.
Week... Okay, Risa, how are you today? Risa, are you there?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Risa. Yes,
yeah,
how are you today? Good.
I'm fine, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
No, I'm not having you on. You're running the show. I'm leaving because it's your show today. Thanks for hosting the American Hour. Have a great time. Shoot me a phone number when you get a chance because I got some other radio opportunities for you, and we'll discuss those later. But have a great show, and thanks for coming on and hosting.
Oh,
all right,
I appreciate
take care.
It. Yeah, I'm expecting Mark any time now. So I'm thrilled to be on, and welcome to the American Hour.
All right,
Hour
bye,
show
Paula.
With your guest hostess. Okay, welcome to the American Hour Show with your guest host, War Chick of americaswarchick.blogspot.com. Today's show is a tribute to free speech. We do have some audio clips that Paula is going to cue and bring in, and when the clips are over, I will give a little bit of an introduction, and hopefully our guest, Mark Tapson, will have called in by then. So hang in there, listen to the clips. These will give you an understanding of the topic of today's show. We are going to be taking calls. Stand by.
Disney CEO Robert Iger is defending the decision not to release on DVD the controversial docudrama The Path to 9/11. Iger says it was based purely on business considerations and had nothing to do with politics. He did not elaborate further. Disney owns ABC, which aired the miniseries that lays much of the blame for 9/11 on the Clinton administration. The Hollywood Reporter writes that Iger was challenged last week in a shareholders meeting about why the company has not marketed the show in an effort to recoup some of its $40 million investment. The questioner accused Iger, who has donated thousands to Hillary Clinton's campaigns over the years, of protecting the senator's presidential efforts at the expense of shareholders. And the questioner noted the company did release the video, the Michael Moore documentary Fahrenheit 9/11, which blames the Bush administration for the attacks. That DVD, by the way, made a profit of $46 million.
idea that a major network wanted to do a story about the most tragic event in American history surprised me.
I had no idea that it was going to air.
Path of 9/11 goes back and reexamines the failures in the lead up to 9/11, the opportunities that we had to stop it.
The people that made this movie, the many executives and many people behind this, consider themselves very left.
It'll be considered kind of the definitive work about this tragedy. And I think that was the intent.
They saw it as a threat, and it exposed sort of a lot of hot-button truth. I think they wanted to deflect and diminish the power of this movie any way that they could.
There is no reason for removing it other than censorship.
Yes, they should pull it.
Harry Reid and those senators did was to try and censor this movie in true Stalinist fashion.
People were campaigning hardest against it. I've never seen it.
I've not seen provided with a copy of it. I haven't seen it.
I have not seen it.
I haven't seen it.
No, I have not seen it. I have not been consulted. I haven't talked to anyone about it.
I mean, can you imagine if five Republican lawmakers had made that kind of threat?
I didn't know that you could have censorship in the United States of America.
This is part of a coordinated effort by the Clintons to cleanse history.
It's not for these people to try to censor us. That is a chilling event, what happened in the past of 9/11.
That was a tragedy. And these people were trying to do right. They weren't looking to make money. They weren't looking to get sponsorship. They were looking to do service for the American people.
Everybody associated with the film knows it. We had it right.
And we are going to open up the guest of the mic of our guest, Mark Tapson, now in a few minutes. I want to inform everybody of this. I don't know how many of you remember back in 2006, but there was a two-night docudrama on that Disney had commissioned to have made. They spent $40 million to have it made, and it is the most definitive docudrama out there. It begins with the World Trade Center bombings in 93, on my birthday in 93, no less, and it ends with 9/11. It follows the path. It goes all the way through and makes all of the connections, connects all the dots, and shows the absolute impotence and cowardice of the Clinton administration. When Clinton found out, he got his nuts in a bunch. Well, first he got them out of Monica's mouth, then in a bunch, and demanded that his buddy, Robert Iger, CEO of Disney, pull the documentary. They ended up cutting out what I call the cowardice scene, and that is available at YouTube. I made a trailer for this event. The scene that showed him, on at least one occasion, having been logged in sight with CIA agents and others, part of the Northern Alliance who were with us, about to get bin Laden, and none of them had the balls to make the call. They lost bin Laden. Now, you need to put this into perspective. This was prior to the African embassy bombings, prior to the USS Cole, and prior to 9/11. They could have had him. And nobody would do it. They were all afraid of getting Reno'd. Remember Janet Reno? Remember how Clinton never took accountability or responsibility for anything he did? Yeah. And remember the infamous Sandy burglar hiding documents related to these very things from the Clinton administration. Now you ask yourself, why? The administration's over. Two, he's an arrogant ass. He wants his legacy, and there's 2 points. And the second one being, Hillary is still considering a run, people. She is still considering a run. They suppressed this through political thuggery. So as a result, Disney, who was supposed to release the DVD within 6 months and give it to high schools all over the country to show whenever they came to the topic of 9/11 to teach about it, as well as originally they were supposed to show it on every anniversary. They have never rebroadcast it again, and they have never released it on DVD. They have completely suppressed it. Iger is a huge contributor to the Clinton campaigns. His wife blogs under the ridiculous name Willow Bay at the Huffington Post, and he has been intimidated into suppressing this. Tom Borelli, and you've seen him often on Fox News, most recently Glenn Beck, as well as his lovely wife, Deneen Borelli, offered Iger at a shareholder meeting to buy the distribution rights for this. They turned it down, people. Now, a lot of you should remember this. This was covered quite heavily by people like Sean Hannity, Michael Savage, Rush Limbaugh, when the controversy came about. Why, at the 10th anniversary, at the very first anniversary after we got bin Laden, is this being suppressed still? That is the question that should be being asked. Do we mean free speech or don't we? We either do or we don't, people. This is wrong. So I want some outrage here. I want some outrage. And we are going to open up the mic of Mark Tapson. Now, Mark was in the was involved in the making of the docudrama, The Path to 9/11. He was also in the clip you heard earlier on the documentary covering this controversy made by the brilliant John Ziegler called Blocking the Path to 9/11. And it covered this blatant suppression of free speech. And it is a fantastic documentary. I highly recommend that you go and buy it. You can get it at blockingthepath.com. Now, as a result of this suppression, I got in touch with the producer and writer of this, Cyrus Malrasta. You probably know him most recently from his fantastic movie, The Stoning of Soraya M., another movie Hollywood has sought to suppress, as well as who do they have in common? Iran. And the other is Islamist Nation. Those of you who aren't familiar with warship, I coined the term Islamism because Islam and communism have formed a secret combination. There's no doubt about it. I also coined the term political castration because you do not call correct that which is not. It is an attempt to render us impotent. It was actually begun by Khrushchev and his infiltrators in the 60s. Because he said, if we make them afraid of words, we do not need bullets. Boy, was he right. Never call it correct. I decided, after Cyrus was kind enough to respond to me and send me my own copy, I looked at the laws, and Cyrus had told me this as well. You can host private viewings of this. You just cannot do it publicly, and you can't charge tickets to get in. So I started putting two and two together. Why not host a private online live stream viewing in September for the 10th anniversary of The Path to 9/11? So since I will be in New York City for the 10th anniversary, some friends and I there in the very beginnings of this are trying very hard to host a live stream viewing of Blocking the Path to 9/11. Because the docudrama is 5 hours long. It was originally shown over two nights. And we will be showing Blocking the Path to 9/11. We will have questions and answers afterwards. And we are going to be showing that. And then a week or two after 9/11, we are going to host a live stream private viewing. We're not going to violate the law. There will be no charge, but you will need a passcode to get in, thus, you know, keeping it private. And all you need to do that is to either join the Facebook page about the private viewing of Path to 9/11 or go to my website, americaswarchick.blogspot.com, and go from there. And the passcode will be given out at the time of the viewing. There will be Twitter feeds so that you can hash mark the Path to 9/11. And we will have people involved in this, including people like John Ziegler and Cyrus, if he's available. He's out of the country right now in another movie. And hopefully people like Mark Capson, who's been wonderful to help out with this. Mark blogs for people like Breitbart, Horowitz at Front Page Magazine. He has his own blog, markcapson.com. He is a brilliant writer. He still works in Hollywood quite a bit. He is very, very, very good at what he does. And he has covered this quite extensively in writing over the last 5 years. And he has been kind enough to lend his voice and his expertise and knowledge to this effort and was kind enough to come on today, even though he is babysitting the world's cutest baby girl, his own daughter. And I do want to open up his mic and welcome him here. He can let you in on exactly what happened and how stunned so many of them were. In fact, so stunned that many of them who had been liberal or neutral, out of shock over what happened, ended up leaving the left and just absolutely having nothing to do with it anymore because of the outrageous behavior. So we are going to go ahead and we are going to bring Mark in. And once Mark's interview is over, we are going to open up the phone lines. And I want questions, I want outrage, and I want commitments because people, we either believe in free speech or we don't. Mark, welcome to the American Hour. Thanks so much for joining us. I really, really appreciate it. Are you there?
My pleasure. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine, Mark. Oh, I'm so glad that you're here. Mark, you kind of heard me give the lead-in, but nobody could tell this better than somebody who has actually lived it and went through it all. Why don't you start out by telling everybody about being involved in the making of it, where you stood prior to what you experienced with this, and just kind of lead off from there.
Sure. First, I want to reiterate one thing that you had already mentioned a time or two. It's that if people really want to get the whole picture and really get all the details of this whole controversy, they really need to watch this documentary called Blocking the Path by John Ziegler. It is an awesome documentary. I don't know anybody who has seen it who isn't outraged by it. He did a great job, and it really lays everything out and explains everything for people. So, you know, we can talk about it a little bit here, but really, if people want to know all the details, that documentary really enlightens everyone about the whole controversy.
I do agree, Mark, and that is kind of why I decided, instead of trying to live stream the entire docudrama while I'm back in New York, just to do the documentary, because that documentary lays it out, and the outrage you feel from it is what I'm hoping will lead people to start demanding that this be released and this suppression of free speech stop. So Mark's dead on, and Mark himself was involved in this fantastic documentary.
Yeah, I was interviewed for it. Those are my favorite parts, of course. I'm joking, but I was interviewed for it. The role that I played in the docudrama, The Path to 9/11, was as the writer's assistant and researcher for the screenwriter, Cyrus Narasta, whom you mentioned earlier. And I had worked with Cyrus off and on for a few years before this project, and he brought me on for this. And it turned out to be a life-changing experience for me. I'll get to that in a moment. But it was a fascinating project, and we were very excited about it, as was ABC and Disney. They were very excited about this docudrama. Even once it was done, they were thrilled about it. They thought it was a fantastic piece of work, and it is. And they had, as I think as you mentioned, they had intended to not only air this miniseries every anniversary of 9/11, but they also wanted to put it into schools across the country as a teaching tool about not only the attacks on 9/11, but how we got there and what they were all about. And that's what the miniseries was all about, as you said. It's the 8 years leading from the World Trade Center bombing in 1993 all the way up to the attacks on 9/11. We were excited about this project. I did a tremendous amount of research in it. And, it's since become a huge political controversy, but we never had any political intentions with it. I mean, that was what really shocked me and Cyrus the most, was that it was so heavily politicized. I can tell you that he and I never once had a political discussion during the entire research period and the writing period and even the making of the miniseries. We never had a single political conversation. In fact, at the time, I didn't even know what Cyrus's politics were, and I don't think he knew what mine were. At the time, I was liberal, as a matter of fact. The process of making this miniseries actually helped turn the corner for me to toward becoming a conservative, but that's another story. But at the time, I was liberal, and Cyrus describes himself as more libertarian than conservative. But we never talked about politics, and then we were stunned to find out that Clinton administration alumni, were targeting this as having been a Clinton hit piece. We never saw it that way. And I mean, the period that we were dealing with in this miniseries, as I said, was the 8 years prior to 9/11. And Clinton was president for all but about 6 months of that 8 years. So naturally, the miniseries deals heavily with his failures to address the growing threat of Islamic extremism and terrorist attacks on our interests abroad and at home. We also deal, toward the end of the miniseries, with the failures of the Bush administration as well, because there were failures on both sides. But naturally, But naturally, it was heavily geared toward the Clinton administration because he was president for those 8 years. Now, when the Clinton alumni got wind of this, they decided that this was going to tarnish their legacy, and they pulled out all the stops to have it pulled before it was aired. This was literally, for people who have forgotten or may not have been aware, it was literally front page news. Prior to the airing of this miniseries, people like Senator Harry Reid led a charge to have this miniseries pulled. And in fact, they threatened to pull ABC's license if we aired it. So that was really quite a stunning act of attempted censorship. As it turns out, ABC did end up airing it, but only once, never since then. And as you pointed out, they won't release a DVD either. Now, Disney head honcho Bob Iger says that it's a business decision on Disney's part not to release a DVD. Now, let me ask you something. I may not be a business genius, but I can tell you that there's something wrong with the notion of not releasing a product that you could make millions from. I mean, there were no sponsors for the past 9/11 because of the controversy, so they made no money off of the actual airing of it, and they're making not a dime off of a DVD release. So how is that a business decision? It's not.
Exactly, and why aren't the shareholders up in arms over this? This is what amazes me, but here's the real clincher. That movie that docudrama had 27 million viewers and garnered 7 Emmy nominations. How was it not an awesome investment? And you pointed out about the Bush failures, but Bush was only in for 9 months when 9/11, not even 9 months.
Not even.
Not a single call from the Bush team on that, because they knew it was true. Bush had admitted there had been failures during his, 8.5 months in office prior to 9/11. He admitted that.
Well, it's just astonishing to think that, there is an audience out there for this. There's a vast audience for it. It's astonishing to think that ABC wouldn't want to make a dime off of a product that they spent nearly $40 million to make. But clearly the reasoning is political, that they don't want it to impact Hillary's potential run for the presidency. So they're keeping it under wraps, and probably will forever, or at least until Hillary runs and or wins.
Right, and that's, I think, even more than Clinton's legacy. I mean, there's no downplaying his arrogance in this. But that, more than anything, I think, is why we are seeing the continued suppression of it, especially given that they finally got bin Laden, and the scenes that both Clinton and Sandy Bergler were trying to hide from the public after 9/11 the ones where he had more than one opportunity to get bin Laden. He had him in sights with people on the ground. Those scenes, well, why don't you tell people and remind them a little? Most people remember with Sandy Berger, but Sandy Berger would not make the call. Nobody wanted to be Renoed in this. And when after 9/11 happened, remind the people what happened with Sandy Berger, what he did to try to hide this.
Well, yeah. Let me just back up a little bit and say that these scenes that you're talking about, the scenes about Clinton and or Berger and other people refusing to pull the trigger when we had bin Laden in our sights, this has been the focus of a lot of controversy because Clinton and his supporters say that this fictionalized scene in the docudrama never happened, that we were never that close to bin Laden, we could not have gotten him, and that this is all, you know, part of a conservative conspiracy in Hollywood. And just the thought of there being a conservative conspiracy in Hollywood is ludicrous for anyone who knows how left-leaning
exactly.
Hollywood is. Hollywood leans
yeah.
so far to the left that it's lying on its side.
The thought that
a group of conservatives, which we weren't, the thought that a group of conservatives could manage to get a $40 million miniseries greenlighted in Hollywood is just one of the most ridiculous conspiracy theories ever. But to get back to the scene in which we had bin Laden in our sights, we have people who contributed to this miniseries, CIA experts who contributed their advice and expertise, who have confirmed that we had bin Laden, that we could have gotten bin Laden on 10 occasions. One expert says 13 occasions. But we had plenty of shots to get bin Laden. Now, we don't show all that in the miniseries. I mean, you can't just show every single thing. We can't show 13 attempts. I mean, you know, in order to shape something into a story, you have to sort of leave some things out and consolidate some events and some characters and things like that. These are dramatic licenses that everybody takes when you make a docudrama or some kind of, you know, historical piece of entertainment. So
right.
Cyrus,
right. Well, you were having to put 8 years into 5 hours, and it's very common for them to kind of compile things one scene, or some of the CIA agents were compilations of agents, because you can't be exposing those people
individually. Yeah, and this isn't a documentary, as we insisted, although the left tried to insist that it was intended to be a documentary and that we backed off and claimed that it was now a docudrama. This is ridiculous. It was never a documentary. It was always a docudrama. But in any case, Cyrus narrowed all of this down to one dramatized attempt on the life of bin Laden, during which the Clinton administration refused to pull the trigger. And this, of course, led to a lot of controversy and calls for this scene, or at least certain parts of this scene, to be excised from the film, which ultimately ABC did. Ultimately, ABC removed about, I think, 30 seconds to a minute of a crucial scene. There actually wasn't that much that was cut out.
Right.
The people on the left wanted a lot to be cut out, or the entire thing to be...
They wanted the entire thing blocked, yeah. Both.
That's right, and we came very close to it not being shown. We were down to the last 24 hours before it aired. Up to the last 24 hours before it aired, we didn't know if it was going to air or not. We thought ABC might decide to pull it. As I say, it did ultimately air, but that was it. Just once, no DVD. So it's a very frustrating bit of obvious political censorship, and an egregious one.
Very obvious, because this is the pattern, especially of the people involved, like Harry Reid, when it comes to telling the truth. And I think the most telling thing is the side that did nothing, and that was Bush. Because this does not put him and Condoleezza Rice and other people in the most flattering light either. I mean, there was enough blame in this due to political castration, everyone too cowardly to call evil evil and do something about it. I mean, there was enough blame in this to go around, but as you reasonably point out, WTC happened on Clinton's watch, so did the African embassies, so did the coal, and he was in there for 8 years. All these things happened pretty much from the moment he got in until he left. And, I mean, so it's reasonable that, of course, you know, that's like blaming Harry Truman for mistakes Roosevelt made when Harry Truman was only in the last month of the war. And Roosevelt was in it from day one. And I mean, it's a reasonable thing to do. It's mathematical. But I like how you point out the compilation thing, because that is done. But one of my favorite people in this, and had the absolute, hands-down, best quote in the movie. And by the way, that edited scene will be showing in its entirety on the live stream viewing. But the best quote came from Mahmoud Assad, who was trying to help us get bin Laden. And this was a man that Ronald Reagan liked very much. He was helping us defeat the Russians in Afghanistan. He did not like bin Laden. He believed bin Laden was a showboat, and he agreed that this was a terrorist and a very wicked man and needed to be gone. He had the absolute best quote in there when Washington pulled the plug on the set-up assassination of bin Laden that was supposed to be happening one of many times. And he said, "Are there any men left in Washington?" And he said this to the compiled CIA agent, who in the film is, or in the docudrama is called Kirk. He said that to him because Kirk was heartbroken. They had everything set up and ready to go, just nobody was balls to make the call. Said, "Are there any men left in Washington, or are they all cowards?" That is the best hands-down quote of the entire docudrama. And the thing that I did not know, and everyone, Mark, I've talked to in regard to this docudrama has said the same thing. This docudrama was the only place that even mentioned Assad. I mean, that's it. These guys are the only ones that mentioned him. And he played a huge role in trying to get bin Laden, but I think the thing that sent the chill down my spine is that he had warned the CIA agents that they were up to something, bin Laden's camp, that it had to do with planes. And, of course, everyone thought your traditional hijacking, that it was not going to happen at an embassy overseas and that it was going to happen stateside, and that it would be Armageddon-like. But what he warned them was, if they kill me, that will be your sign that everything's in play and they're coming for you. And he was assassinated on September 9th, 2011.
That's right.
That is significant. Nobody else covers that. Absolutely nobody.
Well, you know, Cyrus... One of the reasons Cyrus and I like working together is we both love history. We may never have had a political discussion, but we had lots of historical discussions and lots of story discussions. And Cyrus knows what elements he's a very good screenwriter, and he knows what elements of the story to draw out and to focus on. And so, yeah, Massoud was an important character in the miniseries and in real life.
Massoud, I'm so sorry. I called him Assad. I don't know why. I was reading something earlier. You're right. It is. It's Massoud.
No worries.
Forgive me. I got it wrong. Go ahead.
No worries. But, yeah, it was a good point. I mean, we did have some warnings, and they just either weren't taken seriously or people – more likely and more importantly, people didn't really connect the dots and weren't sharing – or they weren't sharing information. Governmentally and intelligence-wise speaking, we weren't sharing that information, so the dots remained unconnected. And then 9/11.
And I think the chilling part too is that the FBI agent who really brought bin Laden's name into the forefront and was following the money trail and the financing of all of these connected attacks and really brought bin Laden into the lexicon, John O'Neill, the FBI turned on him, which they have a habit of doing for their best agents. Have you noticed that? They really have a habit of going after their best agents. But they turned on him, and it broke his heart, and he left the FBI. And lo and behold, where did he end up working, people? 3 weeks prior to 9/11, he took the job in charge of security at the World Trade Center and died when the South Tower fell. His nemesis, bin Laden, that he had been hunting all those years, got him.
I mean, that's a real tragic irony. That is a real tragic irony, and a fascinating part of the story is that John O'Neill, who had been on bin Laden's tail for so long, ended up dying in the World Trade Center 3 weeks after leaving the FBI. So that's an important part of the miniseries.
That scene, of course, we're speculating exactly what happened. We know he was found in the South Tower stairwell, and that the last time anyone seen him, he was heading up trying to help people. He wanted to help people get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew instantly when this happened, because he had said just the night before at Elaine's in New York is that we're due for something big. They want to finish the job. He had said that over and over again because he knew. And just the night before had been saying that to the people that would meet at Elaine's. He was very well known for that. And for him to die that day in that stairwell, and I agree with you, Cyrus is a fantastic writer and producer. Anyone who has seen The Stoning of Saroya M knows that his obligation is to truth, not people's sea wings and not politeness. He is not in the least politically castrated at all. And his writing is fantastic. And that scene of John going up the stairs and then the South Tower shutters and she shows the open hole in the side and papers going out the window, and then it focuses on John's face as dust is coming down and you start to hear the building moan and his eyes are wide. He knows what's coming. That scene haunts me
mm-hmm.
every time I think of this docudrama. He knew at that moment what was about to happen, and he knew who was behind it. He knew what had happened. And
Risa, I hate to interrupt. I'm going to have to jump, but thanks for having me on, and thanks for keeping on top
yes.
of this controversy. Again, I encourage everybody to check out that Blocking the Path documentary, because that really lays everything out, and it'll get you up in arms.
Right. Get it yourselves. And, Mark, thank you. I know you're watching your beautiful little girl, so I will let you go. Thank you, Martha.
Thank you.
We will be having Mark on other shows later, because I am pushing this for this September. Please do visit John Ziegler's blockingthepath.com. Get the documentary. You will see Mark in it. Mark has blogged and written about this quite a bit for Horowitz and Andrew Breitbart. I have them up at my site. I've posted them on Facebook and Twitter constantly. We'll be doing so again, as well as trailers from Blocking the Path to 9/11 that I've had up. And I do want people to know that we are trying to arrange for this to be shown in New York to survivors, firefighters, people who will be in New York for the 10th anniversary, and we will be live streaming it online to people to watch, because this documentary, if it doesn't outrage you, check your pulse. You got a problem. If it doesn't outrage you, check your pulse. Because this is an amazing documentary. John Ziegler paid a price in Hollywood for doing this. He was a very well-known talk radio host. He was just castigated by people, and he absolutely told the truth in all of this. He is very, very good. And if this viewing I want to have in New York while I'm back there for the 10th does happen, he's going to be there. We are trying to get some people involved, some people with some courage, like Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck. Sean Hannity did cover this quite extensively when the controversy broke. He even talked about it in his 2007 book, but I'm not sure which one that is at the drop of the hat right now. But he did cover this. He's had Cyrus on multiple times. He also covered the stoning controversy with Cyrus. Cyrus has received multiple death threats, both for the path to 9/11 and the stoning of Soroy M, and he is not the least bit afraid. So has Mark. He's received threats and problems. And they've had difficulty, of course, being in Hollywood, getting a lot of this done. I do want to go ahead and open up the phone line for any phone calls regarding this. And I do want you to know there is a trailer at YouTube about my efforts to have the private online viewing. And the reason I'm doing that, people, is that if Disney and the Clintons are going to do this, then I'm going to say no. And it's not enough to speak it. You've got to act. The true measure of what you believe are your actions, not your words. Anyone can say anything. That's why at the judgment, there's a life review. You're not just going to be able to say, oh, yeah, I believe this and that. The proof has to be in your actions. We need the support of this. We need this to be big. We need the American people to say, no, we either believe in free speech or we don't. And just because you don't like what someone says does not mean you use political thuggery to shut it up. Grown-ups admit when they're wrong. Grown-ups admit when they went against their own beliefs, like Bill Clinton did. He was president of the only country on earth that has the God-inspired Constitution. That choice indicates beyond belief that he believes that, and he went completely against it. And you do not allow a hypocrite to get away with it, or you end up with an Obama nation. Obama nation. I don't think it's a coincidence that the abomination that maketh desolate is mentioned in Daniel and Revelation. And now what do we have? We have an abomination. What do you know? I want everybody really riled up about this, because you should be. That's the natural consequence of suppression. Now, Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11, Disney had no problem releasing that one, and that was just flat-out lies. So, people, you're going to go to Disneyland this year? Because I'm not, and you shouldn't either. Please watch the trailer. The trailer shows the cut scene from 9/11. Or from the path to 9/11. It also talks about the fact that I'm going to host this private online viewing after the New York trip. But while I'm in New York, people, I want to host the private online viewing of Blocking the Path. We are going to invite local media, government officials, and survivors, firefighters, to a theater that we're trying to secure, and we're going to stream it from there online. We're going to hashtag it as the path to 9/11, try to get it trending. That shouldn't be a problem if we have enough people involved. And we are going to take questions either written in a chat room or called in through places like Skype or live stream to the people who are going to show up there. I know John said he would show up there if we can get this to be big enough to justify the expense and the outlay. If Cyrus is available, he said he would be involved. But unfortunately, when you're making movies, you can't always commit that far out. Several others, such as Mark, want to try to be involved in this as much as they can. Those who can't physically be there, we will live stream them in through Skype or other internet video live streams. And they will be able to answer your questions that way, too. Isn't modern technology wonderful? So we really need this to get going. And we are trying to involve the people who were originally involved in this, such as Hannity, Savage, and Limbaugh. again and get them outraged, because if you go back to 2006, they were extremely angry over this, because that's the natural consequence of trying to shut up the truth. People get angry. I just wanted to have a bit of a comment share with Paula and see, Paula, did you even know any of this about that docudrama?
No, I was not aware of it until it was brought to my attention through through Tom, and I started perusing your website.
Aren't you just outraged that they would do this, that Disney and the Clintons and the media on the left and so many politicians would behave like this?
For me, outrage is a strong term. I guess it doesn't surprise me that they would do something like this.
I agree. It doesn't surprise, but I'm furious. And I remember as a little kid, and I think most of us learned this, is that if you let it go for a few seconds, it turns into a minute, and then into an hour, mm-hmm. and then permanent. And the fact that we say, well, what you going to do, or, well, let's just get pirated copy. Well, that's not the point. This should not be in a land like America, or we are all hypocrites. We say free religion. We say free speech and press. We say freedom of expression in the arts. But if we do not get up and do something when something like this goes on, we are absolute textbook definition of hypocrites. This must not be. Or we are hypocrites. So we have to get up and do something about that. Now, Paula, had you ever even heard really about John O'Neill and Masood prior to Tom talking to you about this and you doing a little pre-show research into it?
No, I had not.
Aren't you amazed that would be left out so much?
I am, and again, I'm not, because it's, for me, it's no surprise, because, you know, the free speech, the free this, everything, the free, but I find that it's either the government or whoever's, you know, whoever lets us see what they want us to see, it's, you know, they're going to take the initiative to say, to allow us to see what they want us to see.
It's just sad.
I find that to be sad, that we don't have access to everything that we need to know.
Yes, and that's why you've got to work hard and never take anyone's word for it. Anybody who makes accusations and claims, I don't care if it's your mother, and they are not willing to give you the evidence and just expect you to take their word for it, that is a liar, a deceiver, and a manipulator. Do not take their word. Outside of God, whose word you can take, because God is the author of all truth, everybody else is up to research and investigation on your own. We are going to go ahead and take calls. The call-in number is 310-982-4145. That is 310-982-4145. You can call in with questions. You can call in and comment, but call in and get mad. You should be mad if you're Americans, because we believe in truth and freedom. Go ahead, Paula.
Would you be able to tell everybody what your website, you know, how they can access your website, and if they can find you on Twitter, whether they can friend you or like Facebook?
Right. I am on Facebook at America's War Chick. I also have a Facebook page called Join the Private Live Stream Viewing of the Past 9/11 for the 10th anniversary, a little bit long, but it'll start coming up as soon as you put Join the Private right in there. And I am on Twitter at WarChickUSA. My website, I gave earlier, I'm going to give it again, americaswarchick.blogspot.com. I'm also on LinkedIn under Risa Kirkland. That is my name, Risa Kirkland. The War Chick nickname, quite interestingly, was given to me by my Korean War vets. And I guess I should give a little background since this is my first time really on the show. I actually, like Mark and Cyrus, am a huge history buff, preferring military history. And I began 20 years ago researching men of valor from the Korean War, which was nicknamed the Forgotten War. And it is the only war from the 20th century that we are still officially fighting. There was never a peace treaty, only an agreement to stop shooting, a ceasefire. And I started to study Korea more. You can't really do history on a war without studying the countries that are involved. And, of course, as we know, since 1948, the country has been divided into the Republic of Korea in the south and the Democratic People's Republic of Korea in the north, which was a Soviet puppet state. They are the last hardline Stalinist communist country left on earth. And as I began to study North Korea, around 1995, I began to go, what's with all the Muslims? They keep traveling there. So then I would go to the countries the traveling Muslims were from, and every now and then I'd see North Koreans showing up there. And I'm going, wait, what's going on here? Well, I went back to history. Now, if you've read any of my stuff or know anything about me, I'm always talking about logical sequencing, which is the foundation of critical thinking. Critical thinking, my degree that I got in college was in education. They stopped teaching critical thinking back in the 60s for the same reason slaves were not allowed to learn to read. If you can critically think, it is inevitable you will always get your answer. Critical thinking is based on predictions, which are based on percentages. It is based on patterns. You really don't get more mathematical than patterns. Now, what is history but repeating patterns? Therefore, history is mathematical. So I started going back to history, and I started looking at the patterns whenever evil was seeking out other evil and making secret combinations. I did this because I noticed that a lot of my friends in the media and even in the military, I had written to them and said, there's some Muslims going to North Korea, and North Koreans going to these Muslim countries, and these are all countries that have the nuclear bomb. And I said, I think they're forming a secret combination here. And they all wrote back and said, no, Islam is religious, and communism is secular. They hate each other. They're mutually exclusive, therefore, because of their beliefs. And they said, because of the war in Afghanistan, Islam really hates communism because of the Soviets. And I said, the pattern of history is always that you can go into league with your enemies. Hitler and Stalin hated each other. They both wanted to rule because the Nazis were communists. And don't tell me they were socialists. There's really no difference. Socialism is about money and business. Eventually, the people get sick of living in poverty and rebel, which is when communism comes in with suppression and stops it. So socialism is always temporary. It is the rest stop before the off-ramp of communism. They were absolute socialists, and they wanted to teach Soviets the proper way to live communism. They were not above making a non-aggression pact while they divided up Europe, both intended to turn on the other. Hitler beat Stalin to it. Stalin and Mao hated each other. They've gone into league before. The pattern of history is that evil enemies will make temporary combinations in secret to go after the good people, like American Israel, ringing a bell. So I started telling everybody, Islam and communism have made a secret combination, and I coined the term Islamunism because look at all of Islam's allies. They're all communists. Look at communist allies, Islam. Look who defends them in the UN. Islam defends communism. Communism defends Islam. When Islam attacks a communist country, they may get mad for a minute, but they tolerate it because they have a bigger plan in mind. Well, of course, they all ridiculed and mocked me for a very long time. Now they don't talk to me. They don't make eye contact because it is completely undeniable. They have formed a secret combination. I also put a lot of religion in because it's undeniable. Christ warned in the last days about the sheep and wolves, I mean the wolves in sheep's clothing. And he did that because he said, look, I'm the shepherd, and I will protect you from outside forces. And being the Son of God, he can do so perfectly. It is your job to monitor the sheep within who convert to wolfism. We have failed. That is another pattern of history. Every nation that has been brought down in history that was at one time righteous and free, and we still are, at least the people still are, has destroyed itself through sloth and cowardice. Sloth being, they refuse to monitor the wolves. They allow themselves to be politically bludgeoned and politically castrated into not having the nads to call wrong wrong and right right, and we don't do that anymore. We believe we're not supposed to judge, and that is a perversion of God's law, who commanded us clearly to judge actions and behaviors as right or wrong and not tolerate evil actions and not alter the consequences that evil demands. That's natural law, by the way, which is also math-based. And the significance of that, math is the language of the universe, people, because it is unchanging, and it does not give in to hippie fagotronics. If you don't like the number 4, math is not going to change the answer to 2 plus 2 for you. You are the one who has to get over it. But man will alter natural consequences. They will give evil a good consequence, like money, power, notoriety. They will. They will deny righteousness those consequences. Don't we see that? And isn't that what happened with the past 9/11? They dared to say the truth out loud. They dared to say the truth out loud, and for that they have been punished and oppressed by the left, who would never dream of doing that with an Islamist or a commie bastard. People, we either believe in this or we don't. 310-982-4145, I want to hear. Do you believe in it? Or don't you? For those who have come late to the show, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play the very short piece again by Britt Hume, and then the trailer, and you should be able to hear it, from Blocking the Path to 9/11. And I want to hear some outrage here.
Disney CEO Robert Iger is defending the decision not to release on DVD the controversial docudrama The Path to 9/11. Iger says it was based purely on business considerations and had nothing to do with politics. He did not elaborate further. Disney owns ABC, which aired the miniseries that lays much of the blame for 9/11 on the Clinton administration. The Hollywood Reporter writes that Iger was challenged last week in a shareholders meeting about why the company has not marketed the show in an effort to recoup some of its $40 million investment. The questioner accused Iger, who has donated thousands to Hillary Clinton's campaigns over the years, of protecting the senator's presidential efforts at the expense of shareholders. And the questioner noted the company did release the video, the Michael Moore documentary Fahrenheit 9/11, which blames the Bush administration for the attacks. That DVD, by the way, made a profit of $46 million.
Okay, everyone.
Disney CEO Robert Iger is defending the decision not to release.
That was my bad. I did want to mention something here. Tom Borelli is the one that Britt Hume just mentioned, confronting Iger at a Disney shareholder meeting. That soundbite, he takes the entire thing, is up at my post. It's also up at his, and I will repost it at Something New, so you don't have to go searching through my blog to find it. I've posted it many times on YouTube, on Twitter and Facebook, and LinkedIn, and I will do so again at mine. Also, I will be reposting the articles by friend Carrie Patton that just came out, the trailer I made, which is everywhere, and by Mark Tapson and fellow warrior in this, Chris Yogerst, who also blogs for Horowitz and Andrew Breitbart. And we are going to be reposting those things. You do need to look at it. You do need to review it. Go back to Hannity, Limbaugh, and Savage and listen to what they said. And listen and remember, people, that if you aren't willing to fight on this, you may not have a voice to fight next time. You may not. That's just how it goes. Tom Borelli, by the way, deeply involved in this effort to bring the path to 9/11 for a private viewing. Very much so, very good man, walks what he talks, and so does his beautiful wife, Denise. Okay, here is a trailer from Blocking the Path to 9/11. For those of you that came late, I want you to listen.
The major network want to do a story about the most tragic event in American history. Surprised me.
I had no idea that it was going to air.
Path to 9/11 goes back and reexamines the failures in the lead up to 9/11, the opportunities that we had to stop it.
The people that made this movie, the many executives and many people behind this, consider themselves very left.
It'll be considered kind of the definitive work about this tragedy. And I think that was the intent.
They saw it as a threat, and it exposed sort of a lot of hot-button truth. I think they wanted to deflect and diminish the power of this movie any way that they could.
There is no reason for removing it other than censorship.
Yes, they should pull it.
Harry Reid and those senators did it was to try and censor this movie in true Stalinist fashion.
The people were campaigning honest against it. I've never seen it.
I've not seen provided with a copy of it. I haven't seen it.
I have not seen it.
I haven't seen it.
No, I have not seen it. I have not been consulted. I haven't talked to anyone about it.
I mean, can you imagine if five Republican lawmakers had made that kind of threat?
I didn't know that you could censor, have censorship in the United States of America.
This is part of a coordinated effort by the Clintons to cleanse history.
It's not for these people to try to censor us. That is a chilling event, what happened on the path of 9/11.
That was the tragedy. These people were trying to be right. They weren't looking to make money. They weren't looking to get sponsorship. They were looking to do a service for the American people.
Everybody associated with the film knows it. We had it right.
That's right, everybody. They got it right. And that is why the left was up in arms. They got it right. They told the truth. I did want to let you know, Steve Emerson, one of the original to warn us about Islam's intent back in the early 90s, been under death threats ever since. Also wanting to be involved in this, and a shout out to him. He had back surgery, and I hope he's feeling better. Otherwise, he was going to be here. And Richard Miniter, who wrote the book Losing Bin Laden. Very good book, and one of several that Cyrus read and read and read and reread while he was researching this story and writing the script. Richard Miniter is also involved. He's out of the country right now, and will be back next week. And he wants to be involved in bringing this to pass because his book is listed in there as one of the sources. And, of course, by attacking the docudrama, they were attacking him too. And he's been very consistent. Richard is an outstanding writer. He is everywhere Richard Minotaur is, and really knows history, really understands military. He's one of the old-fashioned type reporters, boots on the ground type, who gets there and embeds and does all sorts of very, very hard work. He's out of the country right now. We'll be back soon. His book was one of the definitive books written about this, as well as several CIA agents have written books, and they've all been pretty consistent in what they've said, that the ball was dropped by the Clintons. They were too gutless and too politically castrated to go after bin Laden when they had him dead to rights. I want any of you, and I can't imagine anyone answering no to this, who were affected by 9/11 or who personally had friends or family who were lost on that day, I want you to think about this. Those lives would not have been lost had Clinton actually been a man. You need to understand the multiple chances he had to get bin Laden prior to the African embassies, the coal, and 9/11. The thousands and thousands of lives ended and affected by this. Are we men or are we mice? I know Disney's a mouse. What are we? Because this must not be. Not here, not now, not ever. Go ahead. Let's hear it from you. If you disagree, call in. But I will hold you to logic, reason, and truth. I will expect you to give an argument based on those things and not emotion and not your feelings. Our obligation is to truth, not politeness. 310-982-4145. Call in and get mad, people. You should be. You should be angry right now that this is being done while we just celebrated the beginnings of this country, the only land on earth at the time that had complete and utter free speech, free religion, and was willing to fight and die to make it so. We owe them. So let's walk the talk. Call in and commit now. Commit now to be involved in this and to do your part to see to it that this happens. I'm taking a tremendous risk at doing this. I'm following the law on keeping it private and in not charging money for it because that's not the point of this at all. But there's still a risk going against someone like Disney and, for heaven's sake, the Clintons and this administration. They certainly do not want the truth to come out. Our first Islamist president is certainly not going to want this truth to come out. Come on. You need to be calling in. You need to be asking questions, and you need to get into the fray. Because whether or not you choose to, it's coming for you. And it will get you if you don't decide which side you're on. I just mainly want to know how many of you are stunned to learn about John O'Neill? How many of you are stunned to learn about Massoud, who was actually a friend? He was a good friend of ours, and he sealed that with his blood 2 days before 9/11. John O'Neill sealed it with his blood going up the South Tower to try to save people because he had taken the job as head of security at World Trade Center just 3 weeks earlier. And by the way, the end of this movie, the 9/11 Commission, when they raided all of the departments and who failed, there were nothing but D's and F's, except for when it came to tracking the financing, it was the only A. And that was John O'Neill's department. He did it flawlessly. How many of you knew that? Yeah, that's what I thought. See, I didn't either. Cyrus's work in this is so thorough and so complete that not knowing it is absolutely a sin. It's about as evil as you get. 310-982-4145. Let's call in and let's get angry. Let's call wrong, wrong. If you're not sure how, I understand. Remember, my degree's in education. You were forced as a little kid to hand your balls over to political castration. So I'll tell you what. I'll lend you a set of my balls. You look up the word man and play Let's Pretend for a while. You might like it. Otherwise, hand in your Y chromosome. You're not using it. Let's get out there and let's get this word out and let's finish this. We are about to fall in to complete and utter martial law. We are following a pattern, people, because the government first seeks to control good actions. They have the right to outlaw evil actions. But the pattern of history is this. They will seek to control good actions. Then they will seek to control words. And eventually, it becomes reasonable when you become that mentally ill to believe you can control thoughts. Thoughts, people. If you don't stand now, your thoughts don't stand a chance. And the pattern of history is it is the good and righteous thoughts that get suppressed, not the narcissistic, sociopathic Casey Anthony thoughts. And by the way, I think it should be clear to everybody why she's a little narcissistic liar. She was raised that way. Patterns are mathematical, and they don't care about your feelings. Math is pure truth. It is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, in heaven, earth, and hell, in the Garden of Eden or Armageddon. You will never change the answer to 2 + 2 just because you're afraid of the 4. Math. Look into it. You're going to need it. I want to hear patterns. I want to hear logical sequencing. I want to hear outrage. Because if you're not outraged, don't you dare call in. You won't survive, trust me. I didn't get the nickname War Chick for being left-handed. And I'm not. That was a joke. Ha ha. 310-982-4145. Let's not put the final stone on free speech. We are fast following a pattern to martial law. And I mean fast. The changes in just the past few months are just leaving us stunned. Well, get over it. We're at war, people. Get up and get active. And it begins with speech. I've said this often, but this is the first time here. When you engage in evil, your IQ exits the room with sanity in tow. How many times in recent years have you heard terms like unprecedented, baffling, mentally ill, irrational, illogical, unreasonable? Not only do these speak to stupidity, but they speak to insanity. We are becoming a people for whom insanity and emotional phagotronics seems perfectly reasonable. You don't get more insane than that. So knock it off. Get up, get involved, and get going. Or get gone. Those are our only choices. And we are following a pattern of history here, not a good one either. How much longer before flogging seemed normal and reasonable? How many of you even pay attention anymore when a woman kills her own baby, leaves it in a dumpster? 20 years ago, that was jaw-dropping. Pattern. That's a pattern. And by the way, patterns are what John O'Neill followed. That's how you connect dots. Patterns. Learn how to do it, because it is an absolute permanent staple of all critical thinking. 310-982-4145. We only have a few minutes left. And I don't want anybody leaving here with a question, especially when it could be answered. Absolutely not. This is your country. And if you don't stand up for it, it's not going to stand. That is a pattern of history, and we are not above the laws of math. 310-982-4145. Call in and get mad and spread the word. The biggest election probably in American history is coming up next year. Who do you want? Somebody who says, well, I may not like what you have to say, but our law allows you to, and I will not destroy the law. Or do you want someone who says, well, I think we should do this, and therefore it is the law? How many of you are sick of the because I said so defense? Since when is that established mathematical truth? Nope. Not. Period. Because somebody said so is not reason enough. If it does not stand up to critical thinking, it is a lie. So what do we uphold, the truth or the lie? Do we choose our own comfort and be selfish and narcissistic? Or do we get out of our comfort zone because there's something very important at stake here? I know what I'm doing. I'm on here yakking up a storm, probably driving pollen nuts.
No, absolutely not, Raisa. I enjoy listening to what you have to say. And, you know, for our listeners that are not aware, Raisa LaRue Kirkland was dubbed War Chick by her beloved Korean War vets, and she's an avid military historian and conservative commentator. She's been an online favorite for 8 years now and a frequent guest on multiple talk radio shows. And author of the forthcoming Forgotten Warrior series on men of valor from the Korean War. She coined the phrases political castration and Islamunism, which is the coming together of Islam and communism in the past 20 years. And for 15 years, she's been sounding the cry on North Korea and its unholy alliance with terrorism. She's the founder of the group and petition Tell Disney / ABC to rebroadcast The Path to 9/11, which is what the show is about today, for the 10th anniversary and release it on DVD. She has a degree in education, but she stands firm against the NEA. Would you let the listeners know again, Raisa, where everyone can find you online?
You bet, you bet. My online website, and from there you can link to Facebook and Twitter too, is americaswarchick.blogspot.com. And on Twitter, I'm under Warchick USA. On Facebook, I'm under America's Warchick. I also have the groups there, a fan page, because unfortunately I got up to 5,000 followers last November, called Warchick. Yeah, War Chick, Faith, Courage, and Victory. We're going to need all three to win. And on LinkedIn, I'm under the name Raisa LaRue Kirkland. I'm not at all hard to find, fortunately, because I have a very unique name, Raisa, R-E-S-A, LaRue, capital L-A, capital R-U, my grandma's name. And I always used to tell my mom, I thought it sounded like a stripper's name. I thought, what were you thinking? And Kirkland being my last name. So I'm fortunate that my name's unique. And it's really not that hard to find me. A lot of people will even just do War Chick, W-A-R-C-H-I-C-K. Funny side note here. I got written an email probably about, 5 or 6 years ago from a really sweet girl whose ancestry was through Poland or maybe Czechoslovakia, and their last name was Warchick, and spelled the same. And she went online to do some family history research, and all that came up for the first whole page and a half was my stuff. And she laughed and laughed and laughed, and she sent me this really sweet email telling me that. And we wrote back and forth for a little while. And I just thought that was hilarious because I remember when my Korean War vets kind of put that nickname on me, and I thought it was adorable. I loved it. I was so honored. I remember thinking it sounds Polish or Czech, and I wonder if there are people out there who are going to be pissed. And so when she wrote to me, it was really I laughed. I even told her that, and she thought that was hilarious because she said, oh, yeah, you got it right. That's the area it's from. So, and that is my last name. But when you do blog it, usually mine are the first to come up because I have been around, it's almost 9 years now, since 2002 when Joseph Farah asked me to do a three-piece. I never actually intended to write online. I always just wanted to do books and maybe documentaries based on those because of my love for history. But I wrote to him in my frustration one day just saying, look, you're conservative. Maybe you'll do it. And gave him a bunch of information on how Islam and communism were coming together, especially through North Korea. And he wrote me back and said, you know, you have at least enough here for a three-piece article. Why don't you do it? Well, that had never occurred to me. And I went, what? And he said, yeah, do it, and I'll post it at World Net Daily. Most of you should know that one with Joseph Farah. And so I was stunned. So I spent the next several days putting a three-piecer together at World Net Daily, and they were my very first ones ever. And they were completely on the coming together of Islamic nations and the last really hard-line communist nation on Earth, which was North Korea, and how they had formed a secret combination. And it took me 2 weeks to answer all the mail from it. And I was stunned. And I thought, well, maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea because people were saying, I can't believe this. You know, everyone I've talked to says they would never combine like this. These guys would never do this because one's secular and forbids God. The other is religious and, you know, demands God. But that's the similarity. They both believe in what they believe by force, not by freedom, not by moral agency, not by free will. You have to, or you will be hurt, or you will be enslaved, or you will be killed. They both believe in that. You have that commonality, you don't need anything else. And that is another pattern of history. All evil that seeks out evil has that commonality. The war in heaven has followed us to earth, and the war in heaven was between Lucifer, who wanted things done by force, and the followers of Christ, who wanted the right to choose wrong. They wanted free will. And for you parents out there, do you want your kids to see you by force, or do you want them to grow up and love you and want to be around you? Which do you want? Well, loving God is a parent. We're his children. He does not want us back by force, and probably the best way that was taught to me was by my dad when I was 15. I had come home from high school. Now, my dad was a walking dictionary on World War II, and this is where I learned to love military history, patterns, critical thinking. And so I probably knew more at 10 years old on World War II and all of the commanders in it, and he knew them on all sides, Allied and Axis. He knew all the battles, all the wars, everything. at 10 years old, I probably knew more than my teachers. And boy, was I a little pain in the butt about it, because I'm absolutely firm on adhering to the truth. And if they got anything wrong, my hand would shoot up. And, oh, no, I got something wrong. What is it, Risa? What did I say wrong about this battle at this time? I was walking home from Highland High School in Pocatello, Idaho, where I lived at the time, and there was a Nazi group handing out literature about how evil Jews were and how there was no Holocaust. Well, I'd grown up every Saturday on the floor with my dad, you know, to try to get him to like me. He didn't really care for me, and I adored him. He was my hero, and I spent every Saturday watching World at War and Victory at Sea with my dad. Our house was just filled with military history and World War II history books. So I probably knew more than the average kid. And I walked in, and I was just shaking with anger. I was in tears. And I told my dad, we need to pass a law and force these people to leave, and they're not allowed in this country. And he looked at me so disappointed and said, Risa LaRue Kirkland. So I knew I was in trouble, all three names. I know you didn't just suggest Lucifer's plan that we force. And I was stunned, because it was true, and it cut me to my very center. And we had a discussion, and he said, they have the right in a land of free speech to say what they want. And I said, but it's wrong. And he said, and that's where your right comes in. You have the right to reject it. Then he quoted to me a hymn that's in our LDS, I'm a Mormon broad, LDS hymn book, called Know This, That Every Soul Is Free. And he had memorized it when he was about 15. I ran upstairs. I was so impressed by it and immediately memorized it myself. And it goes like this. Know this, that every soul is free to choose his life and what he'll be. For this eternal truth is given, that God will force no man to heaven. He'll call, persuade, direct aright, and teach with wisdom, love, and light. In nameless ways, be good and kind, but never force the human mind. And that is the difference between Islamists and Americans. We teach, persuade, direct aright, but we will not force. There you go.
We will end the show, and I want to thank you for, guest hosting, and you did an awesome job, and looking forward to having you on again.
You bet. I'd be thrilled to, and please do not forget, we need to support this and push this, or it will not happen. Tell everyone, and then get involved.
Definitely.
I appreciate everyone being here. I appreciate my guest, Mark Tapson. As I said, Steve Emerson and Richard Miniter are going to be in shows. I have some other guest hosting gigs that I've been asked to do in the next few weeks, and I'm taking advantage of as many of them as I can prior to what's coming up in September. This is our 10th anniversary, folks. Let's remember what it was all about so we can make sure it never happens again. And this has been your host, your guest host, Risa LaRue Kirkland, otherwise known as War Chick. You can find me everywhere online. Standing in for Tom Garcia here on the American Hour, thank you very much for listening in. And keep the faith, bros, and all things courage. And there is no substitute for victory.
Enjoy your week.
You too, Paula, and thanks for having me on.
Listening to the American Hour with Commander Tom Garcia on the USA Talk Radio Network.